Our scripture reading for today is taken from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 6. St. Paul writes by inspiration, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all graces abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen." As you get to be about college age, sometimes your parents start telling you stories from your childhood or their past that kind of have an impact on you. My father told me one of those about the time that I was born. Maybe some of you have heard me tell this before. But around the time I was born, my mother was diabetic. My mother was very sick, and she had already lost two previous pregnancies, and so they were very concerned about her health and the health of the baby. And so she had to be hospitalized the last 3 months of her pregnancy before I was born. And it was a time when my father was a pastor of a small church in a little town in Iowa. He didn't make a whole lot of money, and there was no health insurance. And he was sitting in his office, worried and concerned about finances, that more than likely this was going to bury our family financially for the rest of their life. And so he decided to take a job selling vacuum cleaners in a nearby town. Didn't want to be going up to doors of his own members, so he picked a town that was about 20 miles away and signed on to go sell vacuum cleaners. And he did that for a few nights and realized he was coming home tired and that had two boys at home to watch, and this wasn't going to work. So he was sitting in his office one day, very sad about all of this, preparing his Bible study for the upcoming Sunday, and he happened to read these passages from the book of the prophet Malachi. Let me read them to you. God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse." A tithe is a tenth of your earnings, meaning bring it to God. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." So my dad said he thought, I'm sinking anyway, I might as well try this. So he decided to double what his typical Sunday gift was for the next Sunday. And he said the next week everything was okay financially. He decided, I'm going to try this again. So he doubled the double the next Sunday. And sure enough, things were okay. And he said to me, looking back on that point in his life, from that point on, he had always tried to give a generous gift to the work of the Lord. And he said, I've really never had any financial problems since then. Decided to test God, to take God at his word, and to try him, and to test what his word would say. Paul uses a very simple picture from farming when it comes to generosity. And this has to do with whether it's toward the church or toward helping other people. He says, "Whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Whatever amount of seed you put in the ground, think of that like your gift, it will come back in due course. It's interesting how often God addresses this type of issue for us in Scripture. And the reason is because we're tight. We're tight with our money, and we want to keep everything that we have. But so often God encourages us with generosity. Listen to a few passages from Proverbs that are all over the place in Proverbs. "A generous man will himself be blessed. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." But that goes against how we tend to naturally think. Back in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, there was a comedian by the name of Jack Benny. And he used to kind of make fun of himself about being a miser and pretend to be a real tight miser with his money. And there was a skit that he had where he was interacting with a guy coming up with a gun to mug him. And the mugger said, "Your money or your life," as he put the gun in his face. And Jack Benny didn't respond. And finally the mugger said, "I told you, your money or your life." And Jack Benny said, "I know, I'm thinking about it." We laugh at ourselves because that's how we are about our money. We're tight with it. It's a lot easier to go spend some dollars on a latte than it is to give it to someone else or to give it into the Lord's collection plate. So with our gifts to God, we can sometimes be tempted to be a little bit stingy. Paul says that we are not to give grudgingly or out of necessity, kind of like, well, I guess I have to. I guess this is expected of me. There are a lot of wrong motivations for giving. Imagine if the next time you're sitting in church and you had an amount of money you're planning to put into the collection plate to give to the Lord's work. Imagine if all of a sudden a bunch of gunmen burst into the sanctuary and went around and put a gun to people's heads and said, "You better give twice the amount you were planning to give or I'm going to shoot you." You might give twice the amount, but the reason you're giving it is completely messed up and completely wrong. God doesn't care about how much money you give him. He's got all the money he wants. God creates wealth and mammon and all the treasures of the world. God already possesses all that. He doesn't care about your money. He cares about our hearts. He cares about what's going on inside of our hearts and of our minds. That's what matters to him. And God loves to look down and to see his children in this world to whom he has given the gift of faith. He loves to see them trusting his word, putting their confidence in his promises, even when it doesn't make sense to us. And that's why Paul says, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Generous giving, whether it's to others or to the church or whatever, generous giving is a healthy thing for us. It's a good thing for us for a number of reasons. First of all, God can use our gifts to benefit other people or to spread the gospel. Secondly, it helps us maintain a proper, healthy understanding of what really, really matters in our lives. Someone once said, "Giving up a healthy amount of our earthly bread will help us keep a healthy spiritual hunger for heaven." And it's also an exercise of our faith and our trust in the wonderful promises that God gives to us. There's a biochemistry professor at Dartmouth University who decided to conduct a study, do some research on what things can be found on our money, what types of chemicals can be found on our money. A few years ago, you may remember this report that very report came back. He studied thousands of dollar bills and fives and tens and twenties and so on. That report came back that 90% of our U.S. currency has residue of cocaine on it. That's quite a statement. Some medical communities tell you that after you touch money, you should even wash your hands because there's so much filth on it. The guy who wrote that study, that biochemist, he said this, "When I was a young kid, my mom told me the dirtiest thing in the world is money. Mom is always right." Now, isn't it interesting that when we bring our gifts to the Lord and we put our money, if you will, in that collection plate, this filthy, stinking, rotten money that touches all of our sinful hands. Think of all the evil, wicked, sinful things that money can be used for. The life of a dollar bill, they say, is about 2 years. And all the hands that touch and all of the sin that represents. And we put it in the plates and put it up on our Lord's altar, the very altar that reminds us of what Christ has come into this world to do for each one of us, to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And quite often on Sundays when we're having communion, there it sits, right opposite of the very elements that will be blessed and used to bring us the body and blood of Christ, to forgive us our sins, to give us the hope of everlasting life in heaven. What an ironic contrast. What we bring to God, the filth of our wicked world, the mammon of this world that means nothing, that's going to end up in nothing, and the very holy body and blood of Christ that comes to us so that we could go to heaven forever. May we in faith look at the things that we have in this world and use them wisely as our God would stir up our hearts to do, and look at all of this and say, "What is this world to me?" Knowing what we have waiting for us. Amen.